Welcome to the
Idiots
Explaining
Entertainment
Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com. D4.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 7 of E4 2021. I'm Tommy, that's Jamie. How you doing, man?
I got told that I was hungover this morning. Like, seriously, got told I looked so hungover this morning. Lady walked in, she goes, "You look hungover." And I'm going, "Really?" She goes, "Are you?" And I'm like, "No." I got 3 hours of sleep last night. Yeah. That's why I look like this.
That'll do it, too.
Yeah. So real quick, because we got a lot to cover. But we talk about how old we are all the time. And you know you're getting old when you feel real good when you go to bed. You're like, "Man, I'm going to sleep.
Yeah,
it's going to be awesome." And you do till 3 a.m. And then you wake up and it's just like, "I'm awake."
Yep.
And you spend the next like 5 hours trying to go back to sleep. Like, that's where we are.
Yep. That's
both
for sure.
Of us. She said this morning, "You'll get a kick out of this." She's like, "You guys really get up early." And I said, "Well, yeah." And she goes, "I don't get up this early." And I said, "He's got a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
And she goes, "Yeah, okay."
Three-year-old still not sleep trained, but I am. Like, yeah. I mean, I'm in routine at this point. I'm awake at, you know, 6:30, 7 o'clock.
And I, you know how my life is. My life is not that predictable. I may wake up and lay there for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Till somebody comes get me, but I'm up. And it's one of those things. I hate it.
Yeah.
I wish I could still sleep, but it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I'm stalling because I'm afraid to talk about what comes next. So, Devolver.
Yeah. So, but just to set the scene, what we're doing in this show. So, this is kind of our wrap show of everything E3 so far, which we hadn't watched Devolver yet, which is kind of one we always talk about. So we caught up on that, so we'll talk Devolver here in a second. And then we'll talk just kind of, there's a few things of news that have come out. We'll hit those things. And then kind of just final impressions of a weird E3 this year. Honestly, it was just strange E3. And so we'll give some of those. But let's start with Devolver. So with Devolver, there's always two things. There's the games that they show. We'll talk about some of those games. And then there's the thing. Press conference is not the word for it, obviously, but their media thing that they put out. And this year was Devolver. It was just a trip.
It was, if you can imagine what the video game industry revolves around, they take whatever that is for the given year and just make the fun out of the crap of it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like, that's what they do.
Yeah. The target this year was subscription services, and so the whole thing was built around Devolver Max Pass Plus, which is in itself just already brilliant. Just love it. And then just ridiculous monetization of how do you make money with subscription services. And again, just lambasting that whole world, which was quite entertaining.
Well, I will tell you that I decided right before we turn on the mic here that this show was crappy enough to be on Max Pass Plus. Like, seriously, we could be added to Max Pass Plus, because one thing that they say, which I think is fantastic, and I think they actually believe it, is that all of our stuff is crap. But it doesn't matter because it's on Max Pass Plus and it's premium. And you're going to love it. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's not going to cost you anything until it does.
Yeah, other than the purchase price.
Yeah.
You just got to go watch it. And like, we could talk about it all day.
Don't watch it with kids.
No. never the Devolver stuff, not family friendly.
Like I don't know what we're, I assume one of these years I'm going to be back in your house or around your kid.
Yeah.
We're going to have to like sneak around.
I know.
I don't want her anywhere near that.
Nope. But it's brilliant. It's hilarious. And so that said, let's talk about some of the games they actually showed, because they actually showed some cool looking Devolver type games. Devolver does indie games that are kind of across the spectrum and a lot of different things. And so let me find my cursor here so I can actually get these pulled up. The one that I think both of us probably were most interested in was called Trek to Yomi, which is a side scroller samurai in black and white, and like aesthetically looks very cool. And gameplay wise, looks like it would be really fun. And like, just it reminds me of the Ghost of Tsushima had the like black and white mode or whatever.
I think it's in a picture mode, or was that a separate?
No. Like you could play the whole game in the black and white mode.
Okay.
This is like taking that and putting it in 2D is what it really feels like, into a side scrolling title. And so, yeah, it looks really, really cool. I'm super into black and white samurai in 2D.
I have an accessibility control in there that we haven't touched this week. We haven't had time. But that's one of those games that I thought that would work perfect with.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick up that game. I'm going to play it using that controller.
Yeah.
It'll be perfect.
Yeah. We also saw one called Inscription, which is weird. It's part deck builder. It's a part escape room-ish, and then it's got like this horror thing to it as well.
Right.
It's both very bizarre, but in the way, this is something that you said while we were watching about Devolver, is all their stuff is compelling. Whether or not it's good, we don't know. But everything that they publish is compelling, and this is compelling. Like, it just looks really interesting. You just want to know more about it.
Well, they freely admit it's crap. that's the thing. Every year, it doesn't matter what they put out, almost the first thing they say is, this is all crap, but you're going to love it. And so I think that they are on to something, because there's lots of blood and gore, but there's a lot of stuff that some people might not like.
Yeah.
But it gets you interested and makes you look. And everybody this week's been talking about wish list this or wish list that, because it really helps the developer. All of this stuff, I'm probably going to go looking for on Steam, because I want to see what it does. I may not purchase it, but I want to see what the reviews are when it hits the floor, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. One more I'll mention. It was called Death's Door, which is like isometric, top-down, kind of Zelda-ish looking, but in a Devolver way. If you could imagine if Devolver made a Zelda game, that's kind of what this looks like. It looks like you play as a bird with like this purple sparkly sword. Yeah, again, it's Devolver. I don't get it. But it looked like it would be fun to play. And so, yeah, we'll see. Notably, we didn't see Hotline Miami. In fact, Devolver kind of made fun of everybody that was expecting that on Twitter in the way that they do. just egging on the world. They're a weird, weird, weird company.
I said it yesterday, and I'll say it again. I don't know where these people get money. I guess we're just not weird enough, because I don't know where they get money to produce all this stuff, but more power to them.
Absolutely.
Because it's great.
Yeah. One more. I'll actually mention one more game here really quick. Not because the game itself looks particularly interesting. It doesn't to me at all. But the concept behind it's fascinating. It's called Demon Throttle. It's like pixel bullet hell kind of thing. But the weird, interesting thing about it is it's physical only. they're not selling this game as a digital product. You have to actually buy a retail copy of it, and it's going to be on Switch. And so that's the only way you get it, is to buy a retail copy of it. And to me, it's just like, the developer is called Doinksoft, which I think already tells you a lot of what you need to know here, right? But it's kind of brilliant, because like I said, I'm not interested in this game at all. I'm not going to buy it. But it's a game that I don't know that that many people are going to be interested in. It would be a game that would probably have sales online. You know, like a couple of people would buy it and there'd be a little buzz about it. But if you do this thing where it's like a limited physical copy thing and you kind of make the hype about the way that it's being released more than the game, they're probably going to sell more copies this way.
They will. And the other thing is I have no idea how they got this game on the Switch. Like, I have no clue. I don't know if they got some dirt on the Nintendo people. I don't know what's going on. But it's not something that I would expect to see.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, like, Doom's on the Switch now, so it's not like it used to be.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a little...
Yeah. It's Devolver. Yeah. And to be fair, several of these games are on the Switch as I was looking through. That kind of feels like PC and Switch is kind of there where they land. Maybe I was making that up. Which one did I see? I know one of these was on Switch. Wizard with a Gun is on Switch. Maybe that was it. That Trek to Yomi would be great on the Switch. It doesn't say that right now. Yeah. It is PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X/S, and PC. And so anywhere else you could play that one. That one is just not Switch. But who knows? Weird stuff. So anyway, that was Devolver. If you've got 30 minutes to spare and you want to see some pretty funny people just making fun of the game industry, it's worth your time. Especially if you follow, you know, gaming stuff, you'll get a lot of the kind of little... random inside jokes and that kind of stuff. They do a lot of that, of just poking fun at the industry that they're a part of.
One more time, hide your kids.
Yes.
Before we get off them, I want to talk about the other exclusive thing that they did, which is nuts. They started talking about NTFs, which I've been looking into.
NFTs.
NFTs, sorry. Which I've been looking into. I know you've been looking into, because it's a very interesting phenomenon. And they decided to do an NFT with a videotape of the entire presentation.
A non-fungible tape, but they did not use the word fungible.
No, they did not.
Went a different direction.
They did not say that at all. But here's the hilarity of the thing. They actually did it, and they sold it.
Yeah, they put a VHS tape up on their merch site. I would assume, literally, of the event thing, whatever this was. Sold it for $1,000. God bless them.
Okay, so we always ask you guys to do stuff for us, because we're old and incapable. My new thing is that I want somebody that knows more about NFTs than we do to find the most NFT-ness parts of this show and tell us how to make it happen.
Yeah.
Like, because I mean, somebody will pay for this.
Apparently. It's the most ridiculous thing. And I love the fact that they took a shot at it.
And they got it. I mean, they made $1,000.
Right. The whole thing is just absurd upon absurd upon absurd. And it's vastly entertaining. So that was Devolver. And we will look forward to whatever they do crazy next year. Because it'll be something crazy again next year. That said, we do have just a few news things. We've mentioned already that this E3 hasn't been particularly newsy because it's not actually happening in person, where a lot of the kind of news comes from. A lot of news is broken in a lot of the kind of just sit down interviews, the stage demos, that kind of stuff. And all that's missing this year. All the show floor stuff is missing this year. And so really all the news came from the press conferences, which we've talked about most of that already. And so we're not going to rehash that. But there are a few things that are worth mentioning, either directly with E3 or just kind of correlated with this time around it. So we'll go through kind of each big publisher really quick with a little bit of news, starting with Microsoft. Microsoft is having another event tomorrow. Tomorrow at this point. What's today? The 16th? Yeah, tomorrow. They are doing an extended showcase that's going to feature interviews with Double Fine, Obsidian, Ninja Theory, Rare, probably more gameplay stuff. I don't think we're going to see anything like Starfield or Halo in that. But some of the other stuff that they showed in the press conference may come back for this. I would particularly really like to see more of Replaced. That's the one game from the Microsoft show that I'm like, give me as much content about that because I really want to know about that. And so I'm hoping that that maybe comes up. You can imagine Psychonauts is going to be a big thing there because Double Fine's part of it. I would guess that Grounded is going to be the thing that Obsidian is doing. I don't think we're going to get much Outer Worlds, but we'll see what happens.
So I find this odd because if you had more stuff, and I'm not talking about the interviews are a separate thing. And you said this about Nintendo yesterday, that Nintendo did a really good thing, and they always do with the Treehouse, because they showed the Direct, and then they went to gameplay and said, did like a 30-minute gameplay thing of Metroid. And I'm hoping that that's what this is. If there's lots of news that comes out of this, I'm going to be pretty hacked, because you know, you had a press conference.
Yeah.
Like, don't drop this massive, like, I don't know what it would be. Don't drop this massive bomb on this extra thing that's on a Thursday after E3. I'm going to be a little frustrated if that happens.
I don't know. Does it feel like that's probably what it'll be? What it feels like, because I think the Treehouse example is a good one. Nintendo show is always on the first day of E3, right? Yeah. All the press conferences generally happen before E3 starts, and then E3 is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And so, like, Nintendo always feels like that transition from, like, the press conferences into the stage floor, right? And the Treehouse is, like, the stage floor side of that transition. And in the past, you know, Microsoft and Sony and whoever, EA and UB do, you know, their own floor demos and that kind of stuff. It feels like this is probably the replacement for that, for the floor demo kind of thing. Come by our booth. Come check out our stuff.
Right.
This is what it looks like when you're not in a physical space. I don't know if it'll be any good. I mean, maybe some compelling content there. The real question is it games you're interested in, you know? And I'm going to play Psychonauts. I'm not so like pumped about Psychonauts that I'm going to go like find all the content for it. Like, I know what Psychonauts is. I'm going to wait till the game comes out. I'm going to enjoy it. But I don't need to watch a developer interview about Psychonauts.
We've said it multiple times this week, and after last night, I'll say it again. Psychonauts is one of those games I'm really only interested in if you're sitting next to me.
Sure.
It's great. I know it's great. It's been great for a long time. I'm glad there's a new one. I'm not playing it by myself.
Yeah.
Just not.
Yeah. It's fair. One more thing on Microsoft. We talked a lot yesterday about how the developing for current gen and previous gen consoles of we talked about God of War and Horizon that are coming out on PlayStation 4 as well as PlayStation 5. We talked about Starfield, which was announced as just a PlayStation or an Xbox Series X title, not coming to Xbox One. Well, Microsoft has said actually they are planning on those games being available on Xbox One, anything that they've announced as a Series X/S exclusive via the Xbox Cloud, whatever XCloud, whatever it's called at this point, which makes a ton of sense. Like, that's a really good way to say, hey, if you still have an Xbox One and you want to play this game that's coming on the next gen console, right? Current gen console, but you get what I'm saying with the Xbox One and the confusingness there. The way that you say you could play that game is by saying it'll be available on Xbox Cloud. And so you'll get to experience the Series X kind of version of this game, but streamed on your current thing, or something that we didn't talk about. They didn't talk about the press conference. I'm actually kind of surprised by this. Just dawned on me that this hasn't come up on anything. Microsoft also announced that they're going to have essentially a streaming stick that you plug into your TV that you're going to be able to get Xbox Cloud on. Like,
so this brings up an interesting rabbit hole that I wasn't planning on going down. But have you searched for an Xbox on Amazon?
No.
Okay. The reason I bring that up is because if you do, it's massively confusing.
Yeah.
Like,
to
figure out what, you know, I'm looking through the listings going, okay, is this a Series X? And it's not clear. Like, it's not, like, spelled out. And unless you see the, like, cube, and I don't even trust that anywhere on mine because that is, like, Microsoft, we understand they're about the service and they're not about necessarily the exclusives or selling hardware or whatever. We understand it's about the service. But crap, man, when I'm afraid to purchase something online because I'm not sure I'm buying the right thing, you might have too much stuff going on.
Yeah, you can figure it out. Well, it's going to take you 2 minutes to make sure it's a Series X or whatever. It's not you that I'm worried about. It's, you know, mom and dad buying it for kid that all the names are the same, you know? Like, that's the confusing thing.
I mean, it is.
It is not, in my opinion, the best branding.
No.
But again, what you said there is exactly right. They're not really caring that much about the hardware, right? PlayStation 5s are sold out hard to get. People want them. Xbox Series X's are sold out too, and they have sold way fewer units, right? Like, the PlayStation 5 has way outsold the Series X. The Series X is still sold out everywhere, which says Microsoft just isn't making as many of them. If they're both sold out and PlayStation 5 is way outselling it, then that just means that they're not making as many. Because that's not what their focus is. Their focus is getting you to play on whatever. And so if you have Game Pass and xCloud on your Xbox One that's already sitting there, who cares if you go buy a Series X or whatever? You know, Microsoft, of course, wants you to get their hardware, but they're sold out. Like, they can't sell you more right now. Like, they've done what they can do with what they have. Why not put it on a stick and you plug it into your TV? If you've got the ability to cloud stream off your Xbox One, why not cloud stream off a stick or whatever, you know? And you pay $30 for the Xbox Game Pass stick, and there you go, you're set, you know, or whatever. Like, it's going to be just everywhere of whatever screen you have. You're going to be playing it on your fridge at some point or whatever. Like, get Game Pass. It's the future that Devolver was making fun of, but it is, like, that's where we're going.
This has been the weirdest year because, you know, I've been talking to Ken at Warfighter Engage. They built the controller and did all that, and he's good enough to check in with me on a pretty regular basis and say, "Hey, how's it going?" And I tell him every time, you know, I haven't spent a whole lot of time with the controller because I can't find the freaking Xbox.
Yeah.
And he has a kid that works at Microsoft, that actually works at Redmond. And he, it's crazy. Like, every time I talk to him, we talk about it. Like, I'm sorry, I just can't find, like, I'm looking.
Yeah.
But they're not there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the whole thing. Game industry is just weird right now. Just every part of it's weird. It's great, but it's weird. So
yeah.
That's a little bit of Nintendo news. This was maybe more of a little bit of a Nintendo controversy. This was interesting yesterday. We didn't talk about it in a Nintendo stream because it was kind of outside of what Nintendo actually showed, but was really big news online. Nintendo put out a message pretty soon before the Nintendo Direct started that told streamers that they couldn't co-stream the event, essentially, that Nintendo wasn't giving permission for streamers to co-stream. And that's, of course, is a huge, huge deal. Everybody co-streams. We didn't co-stream, but like we're the only people that aren't co-streaming, which all that means is you're watching it with your face down in the corner talking over whatever. You know, like if, go on Twitch and you'll see a billion people doing this.
And let's be honest, we didn't do it. The only reason we didn't do it with every single press conference is because we didn't have the bandwidth.
Yeah, that would have been an issue streaming-wise. And maybe at some point we're doing this as well. But the thing is that this has just become a big deal. In fact, Twitch last year, 2 years ago, I guess at this point, you know, worked with E3 for a exclusive co-streaming thing. That anything that Twitch was streaming, E3 was fine with co-streaming. And it's been weird this year. E3 lets you sign up for co-streaming and didn't really let anybody do it, but didn't shut anybody down or whatever. I say all that to say, it seems really weird if you're a company like Nintendo, and Nintendo's a weird company, so take that for what it is. But to say, hey, we're putting something out into the world that we want people to see, but we don't want the people who will expand that audience to actually show it to people that follow them, right? Because that's the idea here, is that if you follow, you know, your favorite Twitch personalities or whatever, that they could co-stream this event, talk about it or whatever. Nintendo saying you only watch it from us, you know, or our authorized people. The kind of culmination of this is that Twitch actually didn't stream the Nintendo Direct yesterday. They just, the Twitch as a whole, not like individual, you know, Twitch streamers or whatever, but Twitch as a whole didn't stream it. That the company decided that they wouldn't from their official platform. I'm sure there were co-streamers on Twitch that were streaming it from other places, of course. Right. But Twitch itself didn't end up streaming. And that's a huge deal. Like, Twitch is the video platform for gaming, you know, like, go wherever else you go, YouTube or whatever. But Twitch is that platform. And for that to happen, like, it's kind of an inside baseball thing. Nobody cares. It's not going to matter about any of these games. It's just a weird thing for Nintendo to do.
I love that you brought up inside baseball. We're the only two people that care. But I love that you brought it up. And I feel like, yeah, it's a weird thing for them to do, but they don't care.
No.
Because people are still going to buy the stuff. Well, and the ones, I can understand why they didn't want it to happen, because for every Nintendo fan out there, there's four that are like, this is stupid. Why would you buy a Nintendo? Look at this crappy kitty stuff. Like, go get an Xbox, for crying out loud. I'd rather be playing Call of Duty. Like, I think that's the thing, because I've seen it.
Sure.
And I'm not saying that they are justified in that. I mean, like, I go through this with the church that I work for all the time. We have funerals come up and they're like, we'd like for you to stream this, but can you make it private? And I'm like, you're streaming it to the internet. Like, there's a few things that I can do, but you're streaming it to the internet and it's not private. So I, you know, I get it. And the only reason that it won't be a deal is because they're Nintendo and they don't care.
Yeah.
Like, they don't care about the press. They don't care about the haters. They don't care.
Yeah, they do their own thing, and they do crazy stuff like put out a Mario game for 6 months, and then they take it off their service. Like, just like, what is that? It's just the weirdest things. They do weird things. And so, yeah, you're absolutely right. This isn't that surprising for Nintendo. It seems dumb. But Nintendo got tons of headlines yesterday. Everybody that wanted to see their stuff saw their stuff. It created a kerfuffle in the industry side of things. But yeah, for people that are at home just like browsing the internet, looking at what pops up on their Twitter feed or looking at trailers on YouTube, they didn't miss anything. And whatever Nintendo's rationale, whatever. But it's just one of those weird things. It wouldn't be E3 without Nintendo doing something strange like that.
Well, we talk about how weird it is, but as far as money goes right now, you talk about stuff being sold out. Their Switch is not sold out, but they're making so much money and they're so far ahead of everybody else. I think why would you care?
Yeah. I think it's 30 months. It's something like that at this point that the Switch has been the best-selling gaming console consecutively for, I think, 30 months at this point. It's just nuts. It's still, and Nintendo does that with every single one of their consoles. It's not everyone. The Wii U wasn't that way. But, you know, especially handhelds, and the Switch is, for all intents and purposes, a handheld. They just sell like crazy. And the Switch is selling like crazy. Yeah, they're not hurting.
Basically, what they're saying is we're Nintendo and you're everybody else.
Yeah, so, kind of. We don't have to be here. Like, we don't need E3 as much as E3 needs us.
Yeah.
If Nintendo backed out of E3, that'd be a huge, huge deal. But, like, yeah, Nintendo is kind of doing the ESA a favor by showing up in the first place. And so they're saying on our terms, and you go, okay, fair enough. So,
yeah.
A couple things on Sony. Of course, Sony not at E3, but that hasn't stopped them from, you know, leaking little things here and there just to make sure people are still talking about them. The rumor is right now that Sony's going to do an event in July, that they're going to do their big, you know, summer gaming thing in about a month, which I originally had expected them to do something this week or next week or something right around E3 so they could also be a part of the E3 kind of hype. But maybe it's wise for them to not. Maybe it's wise for them to wait a month and then they get kind of the media to themselves. You know, it's just going to be Sony at that point. And so right now everybody's talking about, you know, Microsoft did such a good job showing games at their thing, whatever. And then, you know, we get Sony showing God of War and Horizon or whatever, and all that goes away. And Sony's now the one that's got tons of games and showing off stuff or whatever. And so maybe it's wise, whatever. But the one leak that that's come out this morning is that the second iteration of PlayStation VR, that's going to obviously be for the PlayStation 5, is going to come out sometime next year. We know that it exists. They've announced it. They've kind of teased it just a little bit, but haven't given us any details. And so now we have, again, not actual details, but some hints of stuff, including upgraded optics, I think, are going to be done by Samsung and whatever. I would expect probably not the July one, because VR just still isn't that big of a thing. Better expect probably sometime this fall or winter that they'll do a whole dedicated PlayStation VR thing to announce this and show off big new PlayStation VR stuff.
Are you, because we were talking about VR this morning before we could do anything, and you brought up something about the Oculus that I thought...
That's in here. We're going to get to that here in a second.
Yeah, I'm not going to spoil it, but what I'm about to ask you is, are we at the point, we have the PlayStation 5, are we at the point with Sony in general that it's time for us, especially with the new upgraded version, to come out to say, okay, we have to have this? Because I think I could be wrong, but I think it's the second best VR platform out there.
Yeah, when you take into account kind of bang for the buck, I think you're probably right. And that's a trick. Obviously, like, the best VR experience out there is, what's the Steam one called? Index? Is that the Steam VR headset?
Yeah, I think so,
Index or the newest Vive or whatever, like the high-end $1,000 VR headsets plus a several $1,000 PC to run it. That's where you're going to get the best VR experience, no doubt. But that's not attainable for almost everybody. And so when you go bang for the buck, it's Oculus and PlayStation. I think that's where the conversation ends. There's just not much else that's doing high quality at a price that is, you know, consumer friendly. That's not just way over the head of everybody else out there. And so, yeah, I think whenever this happens with the power that the PlayStation 5 has and what it'll be able to do in VR, I think it's going to be a no-brainer for us, especially, and this is always the question with VR, if they can get the price down a little bit more. Oculus has done that. Oculus has done a really good job of bringing the price down to a point that VR is not nearly as, the price isn't as much of a barrier. And if Sony can put out a $200 headset instead of a $300 headset and be kind of in that kind of competitive space with Oculus, if they could do a hybrid thing where it's a standalone as well as can be linked like Oculus, yeah, I think it's a no-brainer.
But before you do that, before you get really competitive with this new version, the one thing that you've got to have that they don't have is more hard drive space. Yeah. I mean,
yes and no.
You don't think?
Yeah. VR games aren't that big. That's the crazy thing about VR, because they're not, you know, 20, 30-hour experiences or whatever.
Right.
Like, how much space is on the Oculus Quest, you know, for the, you know, not PC-based titles? They're, you know, a few gigs. The PC-based games are 10 or 20 gigs, you know, I mean, not small, and the hard drive space or the solid-state drive space of a PlayStation 5 is going to be a problem always, and so I'm not dismissing that. But it's not going to be the PlayStation VR games that's eating up your space as much as it is going to be, you know, Final Fantasy, whatever, that's 100-something gigs.
And you're right, I hadn't thought about that, but my niece still has our original Quest, and as far as I know, and you can look because you got it tied on your phone, as far as I know, we've been using that thing for 2 years. The girls have downloaded all kinds of crap, and it's still not full.
Yeah.
So you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, VR titles tend to be, at least at this point, relatively small. It will be interesting to see if they do try to do a standalone thing, if they try to really compete directly with the Quest and say that this is both a peripheral for your PlayStation 5, but it's also something that you can use without a PlayStation 5 connected to, or without a PlayStation 5 at all, that they release it as kind of a standalone, not console isn't the right word, but standalone piece of hardware.
The reason I'm asking this question, and not to dismiss the Xbox, because I know the Xbox is powerful, but, and we talked about it last night, and I can't wait to get more into it to see if I'm right, but that thing sitting right there, it's a beast.
Yeah.
Like, it, I think it stands up to mine in there, and then some, probably.
Yeah.
It's freaky how much muscle that thing's got.
And, I mean, to be fair, a new game console should be at least on par, if not outperform, a PC that's 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, our PCs are aging at this point, and so, yeah, this should. But it does. You're right. It's not just that it should. It does. And the Xbox Series X is just raw power, even more powerful. There's just nothing that's taking advantage of it yet. And so we don't get to do something like Ratchet and Clank where you really get to see what that does.
Right.
So one more thing on PlayStation. This ties into what we're just talking about. So Godfall, you'll remember, was a PlayStation 5 exclusive. We didn't mention that when we were talking about PlayStation 5 exclusives, mostly because it just didn't seem like a good game and nobody really played it. To the point, this is my favorite Kotaku headline I've seen in a long time. Quote, nobody played Godfall on PS5, so it's coming to PS4. That was one of the things that was announced at the early at E3, like the Gearbox thing, I think, is that they're going to bring Godfall, which, again, they're right. Nobody played on PlayStation 5 because, honestly, it just doesn't look that great.
Nope.
I mean, it looks great. Visually, it's very pretty. But as a game, it doesn't look like it's very fun to play. So now they're going to bring it to PlayStation 4. And so it's actually the reverse thing where they're taking the PlayStation 5 game and backwards ginning it instead of forward ginning it. And nobody's going to play it on PlayStation 4 either. Your problem's not that there's not enough people that can access it.
It's a bad game!
It's that nobody cares about this game. Like, it's... yeah. It's, I mean, it's on PC as well. You could go play it on PC. Nobody does. Like, it's just... it's fine. You made a game. Like, it was, and this is... it was a tech demo that turned into a game kind of thing, right? Like when we saw it at the, you know, like this was the first thing they teased at the PlayStation 5, maybe 2 years ago, like at E3 maybe? Like I don't remember when it was that they first showed us Godfall that was just like, here's the future of technology for PlayStation. And it was like, ooh, yeah, that's pretty. I don't want to play it. It doesn't look like it's fun to play. But ooh, it's pretty because that's what tech demos are. And half the time those tech demos kind of turn into a game, half the time they don't. Almost all the time, they shouldn't. There's very few of them that actually turn into games that are worth playing. It's just probably not a game that's worth playing, and that's fine. That happens. But the idea that, ooh, we're going to put it on PlayStation 4 now, and people are going to be excited. It's just like, good try, guys. All right, so that was Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft. Can you guess who's next?
We talked about Devolver. We have not talked about
hardware manufacturer.
Atari.
Yeah. Atari. Yeah, Atari's making news in that the Atari VCS, which is something we've known about for a while and are very skeptical about even why it's a thing, is now available. You can go buy it. It's actually released. They actually have it out. You can actually go buy the Atari VCS. There is a $300 version and a $400 version of the Atari VCS. It is a hybrid game machine PC. And so you can run Windows or Linux or whatever on it. It has a built-in Chrome browser, you know, on and on and on. And it comes with a whole bunch of arcade style Atari games built into it. And then you can theoretically play other games on it, though. How you're going to, I mean, obviously you could get like PC games for it or whatever, but the hardware specs are $300 or $400 worth of mid-range kind of PC stuff. I don't know. It's just the weirdest thing that this exists. I just don't get it in the slightest.
So to defend myself slightly, Atari hasn't been a hardware manufacturer for like 30 years.
That's what I was going for.
So, yeah. You know, we were making fun of the PlayStation Mini yesterday, and I immediately got a text that said, hey, I have one of those.
Yes.
So there's somebody out there that wants one of these, and I'm going to be real honest with you. If you and I had the multiple rooms that we dream about, that is the Gaming Uncensored compound.
Yes.
This would be
sure
in one of those rooms because it's cool. And, you know, it's another thing to have on the cabinet. Like, I had this vision of all these consoles, like, lined up with, they're all on switchers, and we got huge TVs, and that's one of those things. But I'm not gonna buy one to put in my house.
Yeah. I'll honestly say, aesthetically, I kind of like it just because it's so throwback.
Yeah.
it kind of looks like an old school Atari with the wood grain veneer on the front and the black grooves and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, outside of that, like, I just don't get who the thing's for. It's nostalgia-ish, but it's not really, like, nostalgic the same way, like, the NES Mini or the PlayStation Mini, whatever, are. And it's not current-gen hardware that you can play, you know, something like Ratchet & Clank on. And so it's I don't know, put Game Pass on it, and maybe it's interesting. You know, like, it could be another Game Pass box, which wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if that ends up having Microsoft put out everything. So,
you know what I want to do? I just thought, I really, and this is one of those projects that we really need to think about, because we are going to upgrade our PCs or do new PCs. Especially if we do new PCs, I really want to run SteamOS on something.
Sure.
Like, I don't think it's going to be a better operating system than Windows for playing games, but I just kind of want to run it. You're right, with Game Pass or SteamOS or something, like, just, you could really just put something weird on it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Be fun. Real quick, I mentioned we said we had a little bit of Oculus news. This is Oculus news from a couple of months ago at this point, but that we missed. That's actually kind of a huge deal.
Big deal.
For people like us, at least. Oculus now has a feature that's called AirLink. And so they've had the Oculus Link for a while that you could use a USB 3.0 cable to plug in your Oculus to your PC if you have a powerful enough PC to use it as a tethered headset, which works brilliantly well. I've done it a lot.
I've been meaning to ask you because you've talked about it several times.
Yeah.
About how you still feel about it.
Yeah, it's great. It's a single cable. It's not super bulky, whatever. It's easy. It's plug and play kind of thing. It's a great feature. Now they have a wireless feature for it that you can do the same thing, that you can link your Oculus to your computer. You still have to have a computer that's capable of doing VR stuff. And so that means you have to have at least some money invested in that PC. But if you have that, if you have a PC capable of running VR games, you can now do it wirelessly via AirLink on Oculus. They do say you need to be close to your router. That's a big part of it, of getting the responsiveness and whatever. So if your gaming PC, your router are close together, and you've got some space right there, this is a good way to be able to experience it. And apparently it works pretty well. I'm going to go home and try it because I didn't know it existed.
Seriously, this will work well in your house.
Yeah. My PC and my router are right next to each other, and I have space to play right there. There's a very specific thing that you need set up. And even then, I don't know. I'm always skeptical of playing VR over wireless. You know, the responsiveness is so important. Any kind of latency or whatever turns it into a bad experience. And so we'll see. But people are saying it works well, and so I'm really curious to see if it works well. And so big deal there. So that is, by the way, the news, why this popped up again in the news is because it is both compatible with the original Oculus Quest as well as the Quest 2. It was kind of talked about for the Quest 2, but the original Quest works on too, which is great. So all that said, we've come to the end of E3. It is time to look back and reminisce at the E3 that was. And so we'll do real quick, just kind of what we enjoyed, our favorites, our surprises, that kind of stuff. But I just want to hear, before we even get into those, just your thoughts on E3 2021 as a whole.
I'm trying to think of the right word, because the immediate thing that comes to mind is that it sucked.
Yeah.
But it didn't suck.
Yeah.
Like we got the E3 that we wanted to get eventually.
Yeah.
It just took the entire time.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure how to describe how I feel. I will tell you that, and this happens every year at the end of E3. I don't know how you feel. I know you're ready to get back to your kid and your wife. Like, would you come home already? but every year at the end of this, my overriding thought is, damn, we really just need to be somewhere where we can do this on a regular basis.
Sure.
Like, that's the overriding thought every year, because it's the best part of E3.
Yeah.
And for as crazy as it sounds, we're old, and we don't go nuts, and we just sit around and play video games, and it's the most, it's probably the most pleasurable experience, I'm not going to speak for you, that I have in a year. I can't think of anything that really matches it.
Sure.
Like, it's really an enjoyable, it's a really enjoyable time. And I feel that way every year. That said, I think we would get in trouble if we lived closer together, because we really do have a really good time.
Yeah.
And we're also very responsible people. And when we get together, responsibility kind of like goes out the window.
Sure.
So that's my thing. Like, I can sit and talk about all the E3 stuff all day, but it's about getting together and just sitting in a room. And I don't know, and we talk about this all the time, I don't know how many other people are that way.
Yeah.
But I think we are, and we always will be.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's fair. And I, at the end of the day,
this was fun. You know, we had a good time. We played games. We got to see some pretty games on a big screen. We got to talk about video games. Like, all that's exactly what we want to do.
Right.
And we got to do that. And that's great. And we love E3 every year for that. As an event in and of itself, I had a lot of hope last year with, you know, kind of how we did the virtual, not E3, but everybody did their own things in the summer.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, pretty well polished, these nice packaged things that were a lot easier to consume than the live press conferences and all that kind of stuff was. And so we talked about how we were optimistic that some of these things would kind of stick. And they did. Like, we saw that this year, obviously, because we still didn't have a live show. And so we still had all the kind of packaged stuff that was slick and put together well. And they all had their issues of something or another here. But you don't have the kind of randomness of what a live show does. If something goes wrong, how you deal with that, blah, blah, blah. But that said, calling this E3 and it not being in person, not having all of the things that go along with in-person E3, made it feel like it wasn't E3.
Now,
like, the what we've talked about just a little bit, the E3 portal just sucked. There's just nothing there. They tried to do something online that they could try to create a community experience of not being in person, and it just didn't do anything. It just wasn't a thing. Which is fine. I mean, that's whatever. To be fair, they didn't even announce that they were having E3 until a couple of months ago. And so we've spent a lot of time talking about all the stuff we didn't see. I'm going to go through a list here in a second of stuff we didn't see, and fair enough. But I mean, publishers weren't necessarily even prepping for E3 because they didn't know if it was going to happen. They're not going to spend a whole lot of time getting ready for something that they're not sure is going to happen. And so it's just a weird year. And I think just a lot of things that we've complained about, you can chalk up in part to it being a weird year, and you can chalk up in part to it just being a changing world. E3 is just going to look different from here on out. That said, I really, really, really hope that there's an in-person E3 next year, just because the stuff that you get from an in-person E3 that we didn't get this year is really, really great. And I miss those things. And so I hope that goes back.
I think, and I probably would not have reacted this way if it had actually happened, but I think if the ESA had said, nobody's had time to prep, nobody's got anything, COVID, like, there's all kinds of issues, we're just going to sit out here. I think I would, because of what we saw in hindsight 2020, based on what we saw, I would have been fine with that, because nobody had any business, with the exception of the Future Game Show and a couple of developers here or there, nobody else had any business doing this.
Yeah, I agree with that to a certain extent. Except for something like the Future Game Show.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have watched otherwise.
You're right.
If it wasn't E3, if this wasn't an E3 event, we would have just missed it more than likely. Because, I mean, we like, even like, that was the thing we loved the most from E3. And it wasn't even on our radar when, like, the schedule was out or whatever. We knew the PC Gaming Show because we always do that. And then there was this thing after the PC Gaming Show. And honestly, we were just sitting eating lunch or supper or whatever. And I pulled it up on the laptop. I was like, let's watch something while we're sitting here. Be productive. And then we're like, oh, this is awesome. You know, like, whatever. And it's because it was happening in the midst of E3, where we are dedicating our time to consuming this stuff, that we got in the first place. And it makes me go, okay, I need to watch for these events more throughout the year, because it was great and I want more of that. And it shouldn't just be E3. But the truth is that all of these indie games that we're going to be talking about over the next weeks and months, we saw because E3 did exist this year. Even if Microsoft didn't do what we wanted, everybody else loved Microsoft. And so we're out on an island on that one. But even if we didn't love Microsoft, even if everybody didn't love UB or Square or whatever, we did love seeing Lake. You know, we did love seeing new Harold Halibut stuff.
Yeah,
we did that, and that's all stuff that we got because E3 did exist this year, that I'm really thankful for. So even though, like, the whole spectacle thing didn't quite live up to expectations, I'm glad they did it, just because I'm glad that I saw a lot of games that I probably wouldn't have otherwise seen.
Yeah, and I really feel like, and I don't think that he wants to do this. I think he would queue over or need 100-person staff, whatever. I really think that you're talking about missing these events like the Future Game Show. By the time all of this is over, and when I say this, I really don't know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Just this 5 years of whatever all, you know, all the weirdness that we've had in the last 2 years is going to continue for three more.
Sure.
I really think Jeff Keighley is going to end up making a business out of, here's what's going on in the gaming world this week. At, like, there's going to be a website. He has a Summer Games website, but I think at some point he's going to have a website of, hey, you want to check out some gaming stuff? Here's what's coming up this week, or here's what's coming up today, and have it collated and
sure.
and have, you know, sponsorship deals and that kind of stuff. I think he's the guy that can do that.
I mean, that's IGN or GameSpot or whatever right now. Like, what Jeff is doing is even beyond that. He's not just curating content. He's creating content.
Yes.
Like, he is putting together events. Like, that's what I could easily see, you know, Jeff Keighley show taking over what E3 is, you know, of making Summer Game Fest the thing that publishers want to be a part of, as opposed to E3 being the thing that, not because it's an online portal, but because he's a guy that puts together stuff that looks good, that's presented well, that's exciting, that's going to get people interested, what everybody's been wanting for E3 for years and years and years. He could do something like that that's not as traditionally minded as what E3 is.
Yep.
E3 just hasn't shown any ability to get out of what E3 used to be. And again, me being nostalgic, I'm okay with that in a lot of ways. I want E3, what it used to be. What E3 was 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. I mean, really, even 10 years ago, it wasn't what it was in its heyday. What it was in like late 90s, early 2000s, you know, like that was great, but that was a different world. That was where the internet was still very young. We just live in a different world now. And so all that said. Yeah. So really quick, I'm going to go through just a quick list of things that we're missing from E3. This isn't but it's a big list. And so I'm going to go through it really fast and then see if anything really stood out to you that we didn't see that we may have wanted to see. Some of this is confirmed. Some of this we know is in development, but isn't confirmed yet. Some of it is speculative, but whatever. So Fable 4, saw that last year. Didn't get anything Fable 4 this year. It's not coming for a long time. And maybe never comes. Bayonetta 3, that's the one that I've seen a lot of people were bummed didn't show up at Nintendo. We've never played Bayonetta, and so, but it's apparently a big deal. Any kind of new Donkey Kong, speaking of Nintendo.
Please.
That would be really great. It's been a while since we got good new Donkey Kong. Hellblade 2, we didn't see. We'll see that other places. New Bioshock. Bioshock being worked on.
Levine, where you at, buddy?
But didn't show up here. Same thing with new Dragon Age. Didn't get any kind of new Dragon Age there. We didn't get anything new Mass Effect either, but we just got the Mass Effect remaster, rebuild, whatever. And so that's understandable. Metal Gear Solid. There was a lot of rumors of like a Metal Gear Solid remake or something Metal Gear-ish. It's still like the legal stuff around that I don't understand. And so that just may not be possible. Whatever, didn't show up at E3. Grand Theft Auto 6, no surprise there. Didn't show up at E3. Grand Theft Auto 5, though, to be fair, didn't show up at E3 either, which I count as a win, right?
Yeah.
Tired of seeing Grand Theft Auto. I love that game. I don't need to see Grand Theft Auto 5. It's not even coming out till later this year on current-gen consoles. It's just whatever. Elder Scrolls 6, Bethesda did their thing. We got Starfield, and so understandable we didn't get Elder Scrolls 6, but also none of the new Indiana Jones game that they teased a little while back, and I was hoping to see that. We already talked about with Square, we didn't see Final Fantasy 16 or Final Fantasy 7 Remake Part 2. Maybe my biggest disappointment is not getting anything on either one of those games because I'm super curious. Deathloop. I've got a prediction on Deathloop. We didn't see that during the Xbox Bethesda show since it's a PlayStation title at this point. I think when PlayStation does their thing, I think they're going to show it. And I think they'll have Bethesda there to talk about it, and I'm curious to see if they, you know, say something about how it's great to work across, you know, company boundaries to put together good content or something like that, whatever thing they're going to say. But I would imagine that's where Deathloop's going to show up. I imagine that Bethesda's working on, or Arkane is working on, putting out some big exciting stuff that's going to correlate more with whatever Sony does because it's coming out on a Sony platform. It didn't really make sense to be in the Xbox showcase anyway.
So I have to say something about Deathloop because I mentioned on a previous show that Justin, the web guy, asked us about Deathloop, and I made a fool of myself not knowing that it's not out. He didn't ask us about Deathloop. He asked us about Loop Hero.
Oh, yeah.
And did we know anything about Loop Hero?
Yeah.
And the question is, no, we don't. Right. We need to check that
it's
out.
It's apparently super cool. It was real trendy on Steam for a while.
Right.
And it, I think, kind of faded as quick as it popped up. But apparently it's an interesting concept. But
yeah,
different than Deathloop. For sure. So we didn't see Skull and Bones from Ubi. We didn't see Beyond Good and Evil 2 from Ubi. And we didn't see the Ubi Star Wars game that I forgot about that they announced earlier this year. That's supposed to be a big story driven Star Wars game.
Right.
Bummer of a year from Ubi, right? I think the Ubi, and we'll get into disappointments here a little bit, but Ubi to me was about as a bummer as anything from E3 was.
And the thing is, I think that a lot of that is on us because I think at this point we expect too much from Ubisoft because they've got like two or three really good games and then you talk about the fact that they're kind of a B publisher.
Exactly.
B games. Like they got like three really good A games that like, crap, we gotta play that. And then everything else is a lot of B games that we'll eventually get around to. And they've been that for a really, really long time. And I think, and I'm probably going to get blamed for this, and that's fine. If anybody from Ubi is listening, send me an email because I'd like to talk to you. I think Ubisoft is comfortable where they are. I think where they are is making them money. They are successful as far as the industry is concerned. People are buying their games. They don't really have to put the investment into a AAA once in a decade Beyond Good and Evil or insert game here that we would like to see Splinter Cell. They don't really have to do that. And if you don't really have to do that, then why would you? You know? And I think that's what disappoints us.
I think so. I think we expect that Game of the Year candidate from Ubi that we think Beyond Good and Evil or Skull and Bones or maybe a Star Wars game could be.
Yeah.
But the reality is Ubi does Far Cry. And Far Cry is big budget. Like, let's not pretend like they're not spending tons of money.
It is.
Like, or Rainbow Six or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, they do big games that are really good, but not that great tier. They're just that one step down. Assassin's Creed is awesome. It's just that one step down. And in a slow year, it's a Game of the Year. I mean, even in a good year, it's a Game of the Year contender, but it's not going to win Game of the Year. In a slow year, Assassin's Creed could, or Far Cry probably never going to quite be there, but whatever. Like, they're really good, but we want that just one step higher from Ubi, and it's just, I don't know if they can deliver that one transcendent title.
And I think the reason we want it is because they have.
Yeah.
Like, they've done it before. They've done that with the phenomenon that was Splinter Cell way back in the day. Like, I remember way back in the day, there was nothing like Splinter Cell.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was nothing like Beyond Good and Evil. There was nothing like, I'm trying to think of another one. There's another one in
but
there.
But even like Beyond Good and Evil was under the radar when it came out. You know, it's a cult classic. It wasn't like Splinter Cell was a huge deal. Everybody played Splinter Cell. But even, you know, things that we're looking forward to, we want new Beyond Good and Evil. But the first one was not that big of a hit. It's just a cult thing. And so, I think you're absolutely right. One last one on Nintendo. We didn't see the Switch Pro. It's just, again, a question of if not, or when, not if we're going to see that. But it wasn't here. And so we're still waiting.
Do you think that we talked about the fact that they're probably going to do an event in a couple of weeks and be like, oh, yeah, we got this thing because that's what they do.
Yep.
But do you think it didn't show up because they don't really, because of where they are and the stuff that they showed off, most of which is not ready, aside from some things that will run on the Switch. Do you think they're looking at it going, okay, we'll hold this card for when we really...
Well, I mean, everything that they showed is going to run on the Switch, the current Switch.
Right.
They're not going to put out a console that is going to make the current Switch obsolete yet.
Right.
And so do they need it right now? No, because they're the best-selling console on the market for 30 months. You know, like, yeah, of course they don't need it right now. Will it boost their sales this Christmas? Yeah. You better believe it. It will make them some good cash. So I would have a hard time imagining not being out by the holiday. But maybe, who knows? Nintendo's weird. They just do strange stuff that doesn't make sense to me. Yeah. We've talked about that a million times. And so they could sit on it for a while longer. It doesn't feel like that's what's going to happen, but again, Nintendo, who knows?
Yeah.
So really quickly, we'll wrap up with kind of just favorite things, games or whatever that you saw at E3. I don't think mine's going to be a shock. Metroid is the thing that I'm most excited about, most looking forward to out of E3. That blew my mind. Wasn't what I was expecting from Metroid. It was in my dreams, you know, like if I could have like said, is there any specific thing I want? 2D Metroid would be very, very high on that list. And so getting 2D Metroid makes me incredibly, incredibly happy.
It makes me happy as well. I think I am bummed out about the fact that it could possibly be the last one.
Right.
That's a little, that's bizarre. As far as games go, what I was most surprised about, and most of this has to do with the Future Game Show, is that the stuff that we wanted from E3, those really, really good games that contend for Game of the Year, they're out there. They're just, all of them are under the radar.
Yes.
And pretty much every game from the Future Game Show I looked at and went, that's really awesome. I gotta take a look at that. I mean, that after that show was when I felt like pointed to the TV and said, that's E3 content.
Yeah.
That's that show floor kind of excitement kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because we watched the entire thing and the whole thing was an hour or an hour and a half of, what's that?
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. That's like
the coolest thing. And that was literally my favorite part of E3. And I can't pick one game.
Yeah.
Because there's a zillion.
Yeah.
And the great thing about that is most of those, not all of them, but most of them are coming soon. Maybe not this year, but soon.
Yeah. And a lot of them are coming this year. A lot of them are going to be here in the next few weeks or few months. And so I agree 100% with that. The Future Game Show was my favorite event of E3 and a huge surprise. Wasn't expecting that at all. Just showed some really good stuff and games that came out of that. Something like Lake that now is like, I'm like, when is this coming? In some ways, it obviously we talked about Life is Strange. That's kind of reminiscent of that. And also gives me a little bit of Firewatch vibes.
Yep.
Not in how it plays, but in just the narrative and that kind of stuff, like how it's going to tell a story, I'm really curious about. And so that's what I'm super looking forward to. There's just so many good indie games. Oh, we could go on and on and on about all the good indie games.
Yeah.
And that's an exciting thing about E3. One more I'll throw in there that was really a surprise for me was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
A big title.
That, if I had to pick one, that's probably the major surprise.
Yeah.
Because like, I don't take Guardians seriously as a movie franchise. Like, I'm not the guy that went to the theater and saw it and was like, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, like it's all right.
That's a fine movie.
You know, I'll watch it when it's on TV or whatever, but yeah, man, I don't really care. But that was like, wow.
And we knew it was coming. Like, that's the thing, is it wasn't a surprise announcement. Everybody knew it was coming. It was a surprise that it looked good. You know, like that was a surprise. That like, hey, this is the company that just put out the Avengers game that just has so many weird issues with it. To say, okay, here's another Marvel game, but this one actually looks like it's going to be a lot of fun is great. So I'm super pumped about that. So
yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to playing it. And that's one. There are certain games that work really well on YouTube that I really enjoy watching you play. That's one that I will thoroughly enjoy watching you play.
For sure. Yeah. And it's one we're definitely going to play, which wasn't, you know, there's a lot of games that we saw that if we get around to it, almost the entire Microsoft conference is games that, oh yeah, I'll fire that up on Game Pass at some point. But it's not like I have to play it. Guardians of the Galaxy, I have to play.
Yeah.
Got to. Like, and that's not something I was anticipating out of this. And so that's great. Obviously, it's nice seeing a little bit more Breath of the Wild content. I've seen a billion people like breaking down the trailer and all that kind of stuff. And so
I don't, and I think you feel the same way. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear from anybody. And I feel the same way about Star Citizen. There's a zillion breakdowns. I'm like, bro, I don't, just give me the game.
Yeah. Or give me more details from Nintendo as opposed to try. But I get it. That's a fun thing. We talked about Nintendo doing this stupid thing with the co-streaming thing. And then they put out this teaser with all these little Easter eggs in it. And they get a billion hits on YouTube of people breaking down this teaser, talking about this Zelda game and speculating and everything. And that's good for Nintendo. And so whatever, they're weird and they still do great stuff.
Yeah.
They are what they are every year. So that was E3 2021.
I can't believe it's over again.
It just comes and goes so fast.
It does.
Yeah. It's wild.
It does. And it does not, it does not get old. I get, and I know you feel the same way. We love doing this show. We love you guys for listening and doing everything that you do. But doing the show online the way that we do is insanely frustrating. It's insanely, like, it's not, like, it's fun. Don't hear us it's fun, but it's not. It's also not fun. We have a good time doing it, but a lot of days, a lot of weeks, it's a pain in the butt.
Sure.
And so to sit and do something like this, I almost made it. to sit and do something like this is fun.
Yeah.
And I just wish we could do it more often.
Yeah.
Really do.
E3 gives us that opportunity and I'm super thankful for that. And of course we're thankful for everybody that's listening, that's watching on Patreon. If you want to do that, go by gamingcensored.com. You can follow us on Patreon there.
I don't know why.
Yeah. But we will happily take your money. We've been playing Ratchet and Clank thanks to you guys this week. And so we're going to talk more about that. We'll have some more content that's coming up. We're going to be doing some stuff. Again, it's still a good time to be a Patreon subscriber. So if you've thought about it, you're interested in doing it, gamingcensored.com, click on that, become a patron link, make that happen.
And we want you guys to know that we really appreciate that you're here, that you're paying attention. We have no idea how many of you there are. We just know you're out there and we just keep talking. And I think at this point, if nobody was listening, we would still do it.
Yeah.
Because it's fun for us. But I really am grateful that there are people out there listening, paying attention, and willing to talk to us. And this is the best time of the year, and I hope we get to continue to do it. I feel like, when you come to my house and we have tech issues, I really struggle with it because I feel like we could put out such a better product than we do. But you guys are great to be here to support us, do everything that you do. So thank you very much for that and being there and paying attention. And we don't know, like, we don't know what else we would do.
Yeah.
We're going to do, we say it every year, we'll do this or we're dead.
Yeah.
So.
For sure.
With that being said, y'all know where everything is. Facebook, Twitter, voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
And I don't know what else. It's the end of E3.
Yeah. We're going to play games a little bit more.
We are. We're going to play
games. That's how we're going to end this thing.
And we're still idiots.
Yes.
So this has been Gaming Uncensored's continuing coverage of E3 2021. It's E4 presented by two idiots. I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. We're Gaming Uncensored, and we are out. Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.